for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, May the 31st, 2010. Tom Stone is the speaker of this service, teaching on God's love.
The Lord's given me a little bit different message today than what I gave yesterday. You know, sometimes messages like that are very hard. He gave to me today is hopefully it's going to sustain you during the time. Before I get into it, I'd just like to say that to the fathers and to the men, to the ladies also. You know, how we was treated as a young child by our fathers has a lot to do with how we relate to God today. If you've had a good father, it's really easy to relate to God. But if you've been knocked around, beat, abused, it's hard for you to relate to God. I know that I was fortunate because I ran to God, not away from God. I came out of a dysfunctional family, very dysfunctional. I came out of a family where, like I told in my testimony, my father tried to kill me before I was ever born in the womb. Family where if I got between him and the TV, I got this. Boom. When I didn't do the right thing, I got that on the top of the head. Thank God, I was able to run to the Father to get a refreshing, a renewing. Because I'm telling you what, if you don't realize it, hurting people hurt people. Hurting people hurt people. I wish I could just take and cancel all that and erase all that in my lifetime. But I also would like to cancel that and erase it in your lifetime if you was treated that way. Because the Father's love is so much more than you ever dreamed. A lot of times it's very hard for teenagers once they get up out of into the teenage years, you see very few of them in the church, and especially when they get to be a young adult. They run from the church because they're actually running from the Father because of the treatment they receive as a child. I done it. I ran from the church because I had a struggle. I had a struggle with my Father. But I didn't even know why I was running. I didn't realize it. I want to say this right now. But the Holy Spirit just kept wooing me and wooing me and wooing me and asked me and told me to come back. But even after that, I still had some situations, some aggravations and some frustrations. And oh, Lord, you know, I didn't really know what was going on. But I said, Father, help me. Shoot in amongst this mess. Somebody's got to have some relief. As I submitted to the Father, He started changing the other. In other words, the relationship, that horizontal relationship right here, first had to come and then was able to form the cross. And then I just started reaching through how I knew without a shadow of a doubt that the Father started reaching me. And started touching me. Even though I was a wild little booger, He still had His hand on me. But I refused to let that hand have its will and its way. So don't give up on your children, folks. Grandpas, grandmas, reach out to them. Because a lot of you were done the same way. A lot of you were. But let that love extend out to people. Because not every child, they may be bouncing off the chairs and off the walls. What they're wanting is a part of your life. What they're wanting is a part of you. What they're wanting is you to reach out and caress them. Yes, and even to a certain extent, we want correction from our parents. Because sometimes I've seen it where you spanked a child and the next day that you can't peel them off your leg with a knife. I mean, they just want to be loved. They want to please their parents. But the thing about it is, if we say, no, get away, you do this, you do that, you do this, you do that, when they're wanting to come to you, embrace them. Embrace them. Because I'm going to tell you something. Your ministry first starts at home.
Amen.
And if we don't show the children love at home, how are we going to show God's love to other people? Not my message. That's not my message. But where I want to go is to Psalms 91. And I want to go through it in a way I want to put some of my twist of my life into it. And it might be interesting to you. Help my eyes right now in Jesus' name. Let me learn how to use these bifocals. Let me nose point to the direction I need to be pointed. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Psalms 91. I imagine majority of this congregation right now could recite it to me. And it's very good. Very good. There's some things that I would like to share with you about it. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Really know what that means. I had to really, really turn loose of my will and my wants and my desires to get there. And every one of us have to. Because the tragedies and upsettings in our lives needs to make us want to run to that, to run to the Father. But this is what he says, verse 2, and I will say unto the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, and Him will I trust. When I was a child and I was talking about, my dad, I loved to go to church. I loved it because there was people that could reach out to me and hug me and not thump me on the head. I came there and I run to the Lord because there weren't people that wanted to discredit me right off the bat. Did you know as fathers, we can give long life to our children or we can shorten their lives by the words you say. And the way that we treat our children, we can pronounce long life over them or short life. What I'm saying is, if we treat them bad, we can actually put a broken spirit in them, which works on their bones, and in the bones are the marrow of the bones which creates red blood cells. With a broken spirit, this is how osteoporosis comes in. This broken spirit, not only that, but it opens the door to several other diseases. It opens the door to self-destruction. It opens the door to depression. It opens the door to mental disorders. But God says, I want you to run to me in a fashion that you feel my love. And finally, I received the Father's love. Things started transposing in me. Things started happening in me differently. I started looking at men and women differently. I started seeing, the Father just opened the scales of my eyes and started seeing the hurts that were manifesting in them that was causing the situations in their lives today. And it's a difference. It's a difference. Verse 3, surely He shall deliver thee from the fowler and from the noise of the pestilence. Let's talk about a fowler. I used to be a pretty much of a hunter all the time. Hunter all the time. Now, when you go out and you start looking for a turkey, you think a turkey's a dumb thing, don't you? But I want to tell you something. When you start talking like them, you can draw them in close enough for you to... Do parents talk like turkeys to their children? Do they draw them in just so they can crush them? We need to come to know that we need... Hey, once we call them in, once we bring them in, once they get close enough, that we need to reach out and love them. The snare of the fowler. Now, when I was taught, and I've got some Indian heritage in me, my mother would teach me to get sticks and build a little square cage by, you know, weaving them together. She taught me how to make a trigger on it. Showed me how to get a string and sneak off and hide. You put a little food there, a little food. And then at the right time when that bird gets there, boom, slam, and catch the bird. That's in all in the natural. But the snare of the fowler, he says, let's look at something right here. He says, do not speak evil against the king in the bedroom chamber, lest a bird take it to the king. Fowler. We entrap ourselves with our mouths, speaking evil of ministers, of kings, our presidents, our law enforcement, and so on and so forth. Then it even comes on down further. Noise of the pestilence. The pestilence could be rioting, talking evil about one church against another church. And it just splits and continues to divide. He says, where two or three are together, the other, there I'll be also. But he says, when you're split, when you're divided, Satan will conquer. We need to have that one God, one King, present back in our bodies today, in our churches. This was back when I was a kid, you know. I learned to fish. I learned to hunt. I learned to set traps. Let's go back to this verse 4. And He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust, shall be thy shield and buckler. Have you ever sit around in a barnyard and watched chickens? How many has ever had a country experience? Okay, did the hen, did she run all over and go and try to gather all her chicks? No. All she did was give out one. And all she had to do was stretch out her wings. And all those chicks immediately ran to that hen. Covered them with those wings. The Holy Spirit wants to pluck today for you to come under His wings. To come under Him and to where you can be in that safety place. Whether it be in a family relationship, where it can be in a financial problem, whether it can be in whatever situation you have, God wants to meet those needs. Either He wants to give you some advice or direction or a word that will sustain you through the battle. He's in a sustaining business. He's wanting to become the king. In other words, supply the needs and the tools for you to continue in life today. He don't want to kill you, but he wants you to die. In other words, he still wants you to suck air, but he wants to kill you or bring you to a place. Whatever happens, Father, you're with me. You're covering me, and I can sustain and go through. Because I could, if we would open up and really share each other's lives right in here, we can hear some horror stories. I mean, real horror stories. I'm talking about dastardly things. Wanting you to be covered by his wings, his feathers. I've heard stories of ladies that people's been walking up behind them, and all of a sudden they either great fear or great holiness gets on them. And I've heard stories of women saying, "I'm all covered with feathers, all covered with feathers," and people run from them. My wife, she said, one time we was at Dillard's, and can I tell this? We was at Dillard's, and we was buying a stereo system, and we went around in the dark alley, and these two guys, they was dressed in trench coats, and they came up to her, and they wanted a light, but she says, "I don't smoke, I don't smoke, I don't smoke." Boy, then people looked at her, and so God wants to cover you with her feather. You know, and sometimes we need to use our feathers. You know? Yeah. That's a little humorous, but that happened. I mean, and this was an area that was pretty treacherous. I mean, it was pretty shady characters come in and out of there. This is the same shopping center. I bought a train and stuck it in my truck and locked the doors. And I came back to this and found the wing of my truck broke out, and the Christmas presents I bought my son was gone. You know, so it was a pretty shady place. But God has got some resources that we need to reach out and get a hold of. And get a hold of it. Under his wings. Oh, that's a neat place. It's a cool place. When the sun's beating down, run there. In your heart and mind and motions. Oh, I've worked out there when it's got to 110, 115, 16 degrees. And all of a sudden, I start sweating profusely. And those that exercise profusely, you get that liquid coming out of you, and it gets your clothes wet. And as soon as that little breeze blows, as soon as that little breeze blows, it cools off. And he said, "And you shall scrape out your living by the sweat of your face, not your brow." When that your face, that means your whole face. And guess what? When your face sweats, there's something else sweating. Your whole body's sweating. God's trying to work some things out. "Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness." That was a dark place where my wife was at. Are you afraid of darkness? Are you afraid of the night? When I was a young man, we used to go camping up at Yosemite National Park. And there's signs, "Beware of bears," all over the place. And they... And the ones from California know what I'm talking about. I've been there. Last time we was there, the rangers told us to beware of bears, and we drove up and we saw where a car had been peeled open, like a can open. I mean, just the whole door peeled back. My wife said, "We're not camping here. We're not staying here. You get me out of here right now, not later." And I said, "Well, we shouldn't be afraid by night." She says, "But you don't tempt the Lord thy God." So I heard the message real loud and clear. And I said, "Okay." And we left out of the park. Thanks. Yeah. But you know, us as men, we like to have adventures. And sometimes we like to push the envelope, you know. But we need to be very close and attentive. But God wants to keep us from the pestilence. The pestilence. You know, even storms, He's wanting us to be willing to step up, and I bind that violence in those storms. As a matter of fact, let's do this corporately right now. Repeat after me. I bind that storm and the violence in it, and command it to dissipate. Alright. Use that. That is a tool. In Jesus' name. That is a tool. And believe it. The next thing. Because faith, belief, and action, and also prayers out of this mouth, has to be put in to the airwaves. The airwaves. Pestilence. Nor the destruction of waste at noonday. And these are the destructions that waste at noonday. Usually when the majority here in Arkansas, the times of tornadoes, it comes right about noon, because you have the cold air and the hot air mixing, and it just tumbles and twists. And if it spins off, there's a tail that comes down, and boom, and there goes houses. And I get frustrated when I hear these new broadcasters, and they're looking at these things and these storm chasers, and they got the film on this thing, and this tail's going down here, and all of a sudden you see all this debris. You see people's houses, the cars up in the air, a diesel truck. Boy, that's a good one. Yeah. I want to reach out and touch them, you know. You ever thought about that?
Yeah. They're calling it in.
They're calling it in. Because they like disaster.
The danger.
Yeah. And those people are false prophets. Because they prophesy these storms and tornadoes, and they call them in, and you can step outside and cancel those in Jesus' name. They're false prophets. As we sat the other day and we started watching the radar, and they said, well, there's storms blowing up here and blowing up there. And as they come towards people and places we knew, we said, we cancel that storm in Jesus' name. And all of a sudden, you just watch the radar. But now, I want you to be specific what you pray now. Because we had an F4 tornado come down through our town. And it was heading right for our town. I went outside and I said, Father, and take it around. But I didn't realize I was cursing myself, because 5 miles up the road, we had an acre and 2/3. Guess where that center of that storm went through? Right across my land. It took our barbed wire fences, every tree, and where there was pastures, there were rocks this big around laying out in the middle of that pasture. And they wasn't there when I bush hogged before. But I found them. That storm came over, and I mean, it absolutely picked up the rocks and moved them through the storm. The people's house right across the road, it took it. I mean, this house was only about 6 months old. It cleaned it off. I mean, even the foundation blocks left there. We had some, I don't know, 400 or 500 year old trees. I mean, I'm talking about oak tree like this right here. And it laid over, and the root wad went 10 feet in the air, and the hole it left was about 8 foot deep. Been there for storms after storms after storms. On the other side of the property, we had a pine tree that was 30, 40 feet tall, maybe higher. It was about big around. I got a 16-inch bar chainsaw, and it wouldn't reach through. You know, you had to section it to get it in two. Stump hole there, that tree was broke off right at the ground, but the Lord allowed me, as I was out there cleaning up, the Lord allowed that stump to catch fire, and it burnt all the way down into the ground. I'm telling you, we're not living where we need to be. We're not living up to the capacity of what God wants us to be. It says in verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee.
Hallelujah.
In deliverance, this is a promise right here. it shall not come nigh thee. But yet we, at this particular time, we need to be prayed up, we need to be confessed up, we need to be in right standing with the Father. And if I've seen people that tried to fake their way into it and move into this, and yes, the words will do what it says, but you watch them very as a track record, and things start happening to them. God wants us to step up a notch, church. We need to come out of the church and into the kingdom of the Heavenly Father. We need to live on a higher plane, a high place. God's got a high place for us. And He also has a place, a cliff in the rock that we can hide. Because He is the rock. He is the rock. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the rewards of the wicked. You can go many directions on this verse right here. Don't watch it. And you go too far, you might be wind up part of the wicked. Because you do not need the glory in somebody's disaster. Don't need the glory in people's disaster. But I know people that make livings following storms. You know, they are reasons for these things. And they are reasons for the people to be able to come by behind and restore. But yet, we need to have compassion on the people that get caught in the storms. I know several of my family members have got their houses totally blown away. Diane's grandparents, their house got blown away down there in Nashville, right? And people came and volunteered their help to clean up the property. And Mennonites. Maybe we need to have the Mennonite mentality. Do we even go to the ones that's sick in our community? It don't make no difference if they're going to our church or not, or to our body of believers. Do we go to them and speak life back to them? Or do we selectively just keep it to ourselves? I had the opportunity, we were flowing in a Baptist church at Perry, and the pastor went down to Church Point. That's way down in Louisiana, right down on Highway 10. And there was a couple little communities there, and they were trying to start a Southern Baptist church. And I'm kind of bold and brash, and I like to sometimes knock on doors, and sometimes I like to beat down the barn and things like that. So I volunteered to go down there, and there's three of us went down before they had this revival they were going to have there, and tried to help this minister get his ministry off the ground. But we went down there, and there were storms coming in there, and you know, just left and right and raining. You know how southern Louisiana is. It's a tropical situation. And so we got down there, and it was storming that night, and it was storming. And so we prayed the next day, and I let them all pray, and I said, "And Father, I'm just asking you right now just to open a window in the heavens. I know it's raining, and I know the ground needs you, and I know your air is full of water, and it's got to fall. But God, open a window for us to go out in Kansas neighborhood." Guess what? The next day, where we were going, there wasn't a drop of rain fell, and it was raining all around. Raining all around. The strange thing was that when we started witnessing, the minister went before me, and he said, I want to show you how we need to do this. And he knocked on the door, and a Cajun lady came to the door and said, "How you be?" And we said, "Well, the pastor was talking." He says, "My name is Louis Chatier. This is Tom Stone. And we would just like to invite you to our little Southern Baptist church over here. And we're going to have a meeting." He had a pamphlet and gave the times and direction and all that. Reached in and handed it to me. She said, "Oh, here's a dollar. Thank you for your time." Boom, went the door. So we went to the next door. Another Cajun lady came to the door. Same thing. I mean, identical same words, identical same thing happened. I reached up and talked. Hey, I drove 800 miles. I want it. And I said, Warren, this lady came to the door, and I said, my name is Tom Stone. This is Louis Chiadier. We just came to share a little bit about Jesus Christ. He says, oh, I just came back from the hospital, and we just had radiation. I've got cancer. I said, can we come in and pray with you? And oh, boom, door swung open. Coming to find out, the priest never came to see his people. And we went in there and we prayed with her. And she said, where's this meeting at? She asked. Lester. Went out. Next door. Little Cajun lady came to the door. How you be? I said, my name is Tom Stone. This is Louis Chiadier. I would just like to share a little bit about Jesus Christ with you. And says, oh, my husband just came back from the hospital. He had a heart attack. I said, can we pray? Boom! Went the doors open. In there, and I started praying with him in English. The pastor, it looked like he almost levitated. And he started praying in Cajun and French, you know. And boy, I'm telling you what, the grin got on his face. And he came out and he says, went to the next door. Same thing. Told him who we were, what we wanted to do and share. And we cared about the people. We wanted to pray with them. We wanted to exhort them. We wanted to elevate them. It was more about them than us. See, that man entered more doors that day than he has ever entered in his life because he was going in the wrong name. He was going under an associational name. Not in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the glory thereof. Church needs to come out of the church and into the kingdom that we can present the living God. He's not dead. His ears are not slack and his arm is not short. Before it was all over, we had two professions of faith in those Catholic homes that really received Christ because they were just confirmed, sprinkled, you know, earlier in their lives, because that's what happens. Most of the people, they bring their children up and they're confirmed. We do that a lot in every denomination. But they're not saved. They are only confirmed. In other words, really meaning, God, here's my child back to you, and you have your will and your way in their lives. But there has to be a time that the Lord comes to them personally and they have a personal relationship with Him. We're living below where we need to be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And you know, kind of going back to the trapper or the fowler. That means traps that set. And what I want to say to you right now, when I was a young man, and he taught me how to set out steel traps for coons, they would show you, or the guy that taught me would show me to read the signs. They would show you where the animal came from, the den tree, the home. He would show you where, what stream he went. He saw the footprints. And I'm telling you right now, Satan does the same thing to you. He knows where your home is. He knows where you go. He knows what you like to eat. And he knows what you like to play with. And this is the way the trapper sets his trap. And most of us take and we got about a good, 16-inch step, maybe a little shorter than that. Well, with a trapper, you set the trap just so. There's two ways that trap is set, can be set. One way, the jaws flap together like this, and in other words, come over your toe to the back of your heel. But that's not the proper way that a real trapper does it. He does it where it comes up both sides. And gotcha. And usually they'll have a short chain to it, and in the, it'll dig a hole right under the trap, and they'll put a steel pin, and they'll hook this chain to that steel pin, and it's a short link. But the other part of it is, they'll put a stick right here, and a stick right there, making that animal take that proper stride and hit the center, hit the trigger, hit the tongue, and bam, comes to. What I'm saying is there's traps that's set for each one of us. In the church, out of the church, in the world, in our jobs, in our vocations, and we need to understand and see beyond. In other words, have that supernatural instinct to know, hey, something is wrong here. Now, there's things called scent traps. You can be walking down the mall and all of a sudden you smell potpourri. Some women like it, but I cannot by any means walk in a place where there's a lot of potpourri. I mean, a minute I get around it, well, my head goes to banging. You know, I know something's wrong there, and I turn and go the other way. But other people are drawn to it. And sometimes it's just a stick that leans out, two sticks, traps buried, and the scent is on that stick. Perfect step, the perfect stride. You think you're going doing all the good in the world? That scent draws you, get caught. There's other traps that are baits. A leaning stick, put over it like this. And they'll tie a feather to that, just on a string. Something like a dream catcher. Catching my drift? Folks start investigating that feather. Bam! Caught again. That's catching cats, and bobcats, and coyotes, and things of that nature. But you may be that coyote. You might be that cat. You may be that one that doesn't realize what's underneath that little thing there, or that carrot. You know what a carrot is? Have you ever seen the cartoon picture where they got this stick out in front of a donkey or a mule or a horse, and you got that carrot dangling there, and that carrot, that animal just focuses in on the carrot and trying to reach it, but it just keeps moving. There are carrots dangling in front of us all the time. Beware. Beware of the cat. Beware of the fowler. Beware of the trapper. Because there are traps that set constantly. For somebody that's got the anointing or somebody that's in the Word, that there he is wanting to pull you down, wanting to pull us. There's reasons for Psalms 91. It flows real good, but you need to understand each word really and dive into it and dissect it. And what does this word mean? What does that fowler mean? How does he operate? How does he work? Some of them train other birds to fly and catch you if you're that eagle flying, because they got particular hawks that they train and they feed them, they turn them loose, and they go out and catch pigeons and they catch other birds that fly by. You might be that bird that's flying by, and it's another slick, I'm not going to call any names, but slick person that wants to pull you down, to kill you, destroy you. Unfortunately, sometimes it happens in church bodies and in other bodies, that they are out there to catch you and to pull you down. Well, now, what did you say? Did you say just this? Did you say just that? Beware. Beware. And hang on to that to the horns of the altar, you know, and we need to hang on to the horns of the altar. But we also need to be aware of what's going on. Really aware what's going on around about us. Sometimes we don't even need to turn our backs. Verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is thy refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. We need to really press in. I know that I've prayed 90% of the day, it seems like, in my mind. Because I run into situations I really don't know how to fix, you know, mechanical parts and sometimes even building houses. I've been at it for 48 years and I still ask the Father, you know, what do I need to do here? I'll think I'll need one kind of tool and all of a sudden you say, no, you don't need that, just do this. And it's boom, it's just fixed just like that. I mean, saves me steps, a whole lot of steps. But then there's things called a porch spirits that's sent to you to hide your tools. And you spend a lot of times. Anybody in here have a hard time sometimes in the kitchen? You put your dish rag down or a spoon or something like that, and all of a sudden you just go around in circles and you know, where did I put that thing? I know it was right there. We've had some telephone issues. And I lost my telephone one time here in Hot Springs, and it was at Ryan's, and normally people pick them up and take them in the establishment. And this time, the person picked it up and took it to Mount Ida, and they pretty soon we came back here and we was looking for it and you know and everything, and finally I said, I need to pray. I bound that spirit of a port in here, and we left out of here, and we was going to go down to the nearest, what was it, Alltel at that time, and we was going to shut down the phone because I could just think in my mind, oh man, they're going to go home and they're going to start this 900 phone, and now 900, you know, and it's all that pornography and all that stuff on it, and they're going to run up a bill that I can't pay, and this and that and the other, and then pretty soon something come in and my wife, she may catch it and we might not know about it. Why did you call those people for? So anyway, we decided we were going to shut it off. And about that time, my wife's phone rang. Now we had, she programs, I can't do it, but when her phone rings, my picture shows up. Yeah, I was calling her. All of a sudden, her phone rings, and my picture shows up. And these people said, well, how much are you going to pay me to give you your phone back? And I said, nothing. I said, where are you at? And we asked them, well, how'd you get this phone number that you call right here? And we went down through there, and I found a name called Olivia. And I called her, and that's my daughter's name, and it's way down the list, way down there, because Olivia McDonald's her name, you know. So you got to go quite a ways down. And she says, my father's a preacher in Hot Springs, and you're not my father. What are you doing with my phone? I'm talking about my father's phone. And all condemnation came on that man, and he says, well, I'm a Christian too, and blah, blah, this, and by a long story short, we drove over to Mount Ida and we saw this ragtag car coming and there was five people in it. And I said, oh man, these people are going to gang up on me and rob us and all this. And I, in my mind, I said, nope, in the name of Jesus. All of a sudden, we seen them approaching and the driver's window started rolling down. And I had the window down. They came by and they pitched the phone at me, chunked it at me. And so, you know, hallelujah. You know, do you know who you are? Do you know what you have at hand? Do you know that you can command angels to do your bidding for you? Do you know that you can say, in the name of Jesus, when you're praying for your lost loved one that's out there in the wheat field, Lord God, send a true minister to those people that they might receive salvation? I've seen it happen. I was leading the men's prayer meeting one time in the little Pentecostal church up there, and it was on a Tuesday night, and this young guy, he came in there and walked in there and looked me up and just stuck it in his bottom lip, and he really didn't want to be there. And all I spoke out of my mouth, I said, "Rebellion." And he looked at me and pulled in his bottom lip. And it was one of my friend's son that was out there in wheat fields. So we started praying. He moved over to Nashville. Guess what he moved in next door to? A true minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man didn't say, "Come to church with me." He said, all he started to say was, "Good morning, how you doing? Good morning, how you doing?" Pretty soon, there was a conversation struck up. And the guy didn't even ask to come to go with him or anything. He said, "What do you do?" And he said, "Well, I work in a printing press, and I print cards and make cards like for Hallmark and stuff at a printing press." And the other guy that was the minister, he said, "Well, I play music next door at the church across the road," and it was a non-denominational church. Well, lo and behold, the boy liked to play music. So there was a camaraderie there. And so before you know it, this man went across the road, rededicated his life, or got saved, got to play in leadership, wound up surrendering his life to preach. So, folks, we need to realize we can ask the Father to send ministers to our children. Another time we went and preached a three-day revival, and this is the last thing I'm going to say, but there was a pastor's son was out in the wheat field. They called, and he was in the process of divorcing his wife in uproar. Prayed with him over the phone. "Lord," I said, "just arrest him right now in Jesus' name. Spin him around. Bring him home." And all of a sudden, it caused confusion with the guy he was going. They were going a completely different way. He turned around, dumped the guy off, and came to church. And his family was put back together. So, Father, right now, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. Lord God, just bring us up, Lord God. Bring us up, Lord, and just let us abide in that shadow of the Almighty. We just thank you, we praise you, and glorify you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, teach us how to, thou shalt tread upon the scorpions and the lions and the adders, Lord God. And Lord, under their feet we shall completely destroy them. We thank you, we praise you, glorify them. Lord, as the people go home, Father, Lord, let them call upon your name, Lord God. But when you speak, let them run unto your wings, Father, where they can thank you, we praise you, we glorify you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And Lord, bless the food. We got about 20 minutes. Lord, if there's any food left, we bless them and eat it. And bless the fellowship the rest of the afternoon. We just thank you, we praise you, glorify you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Be around if anybody needs prayer. And so, prayer, you're dismissed and just hang around.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.